Welcome to tipsofthescale.com, your home for weight loss motivation. Tune in every week for weight loss success stories from around the world and for expert tips on diet and exercise. And now, your host, Sam Lamelli.
Hey there, Scale Warriors. Welcome back for another episode of Tips of the Scale. Today is our follow-up with Tips of the Scale listener, Michael Couchman. For those of you who remember back between episodes 60 and 61, Michael invited us along on his weight loss journey. He had already lost a little bit of weight, but wanted to include all of you Scale Warriors in his further efforts. If you recall, he was planning to run a 10K at the beginning of May. He's shared his plan, he shared his routine, and a couple of insights to where he was getting started from. So today we have the very first follow-up. You can find the show notes for this episode at tipsofthescale.com/MK2. Let's get started. Michael, welcome back to the show. How have you been, sir?
I've been great, living a great life for the last month. So
right on. Great. So the last time we spoke, Mike, you weighed roughly 218, and right. I recall that your goal was to drop a pound a week. So it's been 4 weeks and a few days by my count. So how is that going? What are you at now?
I definitely see a trend going down. As high, I've been as low, I think, as 214 and a half-ish. Oh. But then it doesn't make sense. I fluctuate between like 216, 214, you know, depending on the time of day I weigh myself. So yeah. I've just got a scale. I'm going to be weighing myself in the morning. I've been weighing myself at the gym, middle of the day, where I imagine I'm probably 2 or 3 pounds heavier than I would be in the morning.
Yeah.
So I haven't been weighing myself in the morning, but I see a trend of it going down. And for fun, what I do is sometimes I'll weigh myself before a run and then weigh myself after the run. Mm. When I was at my trainer last, I had dropped below 30% fat down to about 20. I think it was down about 28%.
Yes, it was between 28 and 29 when we spoke at the end of February.
Yeah, that hasn't changed tremendously. I think I was down to 28, about 28% still.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm still pushing forward. I guess my goal now is to keep pushing forward. I'm not so much as focused on the number on the scale at this point, although it would be nice, but I'm still... If I was that obsessed that I'd be weighing myself every day, but I did buy a scale about a week ago and it's still in the trunk of my car. So I'm going to go get it tonight. Sean's going to bring it in.
Okay.
And we're snapping some pictures too, putting them on the website, but it's interesting. I don't know if I put them up, but it's interesting that, you know, even there's a big difference between pictures at night and pictures in the morning. It's incredible. Like just from, I guess, water and food and other retention. So,
yeah.
So what other measurements did you want? So body percentage, I'm probably half a percent down from when we last spoke.
Okay.
2 or 3 pounds. So I'm probably doing about half a pound a week, sometimes more. And we can get into the food and the challenges that I get along the way too.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing.
Okay. So on a good track from what you said, it sounded like the lowest number you've seen in the last 4 weeks has been about 214 and a half or so, which tracks perfectly with the 1 pound a week goal that you had.
Yeah.
So that's exactly where you wanted it to be. Body fat is coming down as well. I think the pace that it's going at is not something to be disappointed by. As long as you're moving in the right direction. And, you know, I saw some of the photos that you put on the Tumblr page with your updates, and it seems like you're seeing some progress. So that's great to see. It sounds like you're keeping busy and still working on it. Now, I want to ask you about the last 4 weeks in terms of your ups and downs. So have you run into any challenges this month? Anything that you didn't expect that has been maybe not just a challenge, but maybe a setback?
No, everything I do, I think I do with wanton disregard for care for myself.
Oh boy.
I think like last night, a friend of mine had a few friends over, and he's a big distributor of seafood in the area, and the shrimp he gets are like literally the size of my forearm. They're huge.
Oh wow.
And you can't turn that down, right? So the way I'm kind of looking at it is that so long as I kind of eat 80% clean, any weight isn't going to come off like water. It's going to come off, you know, as I continue to lead a 1600 to 2200 calorie a day nutrition plan. Uh-huh. So the challenges I meet are just everyday thing, like going out for lunch, going out for dinner. And I find that it just gets, I'll wind up putting into the tracking program that everyone on your show uses, the MyFitnessPal tracking app. is that I'll just put down like cheat meal. I probably slam down 1500 calories, right? But I'm still trying to make sure that I'm still accountable to myself on that. And it gives me an idea that if I go up 4 pounds in 2 days, it's not because I ate 7,000 calories.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. But that apps like that are great. So the challenges I'm meeting are really just not depriving myself.
Okay.
But, and maybe I should. And that's one thing I should, you know, I was listening to, I guess, your show today while I was doing a little circuit at the gym. And, you know, it sounds to me that the woman today that you spoke with, you know, she went through a lot of not sacrifices. She didn't like calling her nutrition plan a diet.
Right. And all. Yeah.
So kind of like her, like she also said that she doesn't slip, but she kind of lives her life.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing. And this is, and it took her many years to get where she wanted to get. And this is, I'm not going to be always dropping a pound a week. So,
well, from what I recall, and I'm looking back really quickly at our notes from last time. Now, you had worked into your plan that you were going to spend, you know, quote unquote, 6 days on and 1 day off. So from what I'm hearing right now is that you've been sticking to that, right? You said you want to stick to a 70-80% clean plan, right? I don't want to call it a diet either, but, you know, your eating plan. And then you're allowing yourself that stuff, you know, like the shrimp you described on those days. Yeah, exactly. So I think you're sticking to your plan. And again, you're still seeing the one, you know, in the area of 1 pound a week that you were looking for. Let's spend a minute here on if you were someone watching a videotape of you day in, day out. Okay. I know I didn't prepare you for this question, but it's just something I want to ask you. If you were a fly on the wall watching yourself 24/7, what's something that, you know, you watching Michael think that he is doing or not doing every day to help his progress?
That's a great question. I think the whole going to the gym thing is really more of is part of my existence every day. Okay. So like even today I went, but it was only for a small lifting strength thing, 45 minute session.
Yeah.
I get there and I just kind of feel like that's where I should be. So they would say that the fly would see that I do the work that I do on my computer during the day, and I find time to make sure I go to the gym and am conscious and conscientious about what I put in my mouth and what I see other people around me in the house that I'm in putting in their mouth. So it's a much more alert and aware person than I was before.
Good. Okay.
So it's a healthier perspective. It's an individual. The fly would see an individual with a healthy perspective on food and a healthy attitude towards physical exercise.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is something, if anything, that you want to make adjustments to for the next month? You know, if you're, you know, the fly on the wall who doesn't know what you're thinking or what your intentions are and just knows what it observes, what would it see different over the course of the next month?
I guess everyone could eat a little cleaner. Improvements, I guess, would be starting to, you know, I just started running during the winter, and in Toronto, it's been a little cold. So adjustment would be running outside so I can get ready for this 10K. And, you know, eating more vegetables would be my but besides that, I think the path I'm on is a pretty healthy physical and emotional path that I'm on. What I've learned and I've become aware of, and, you know, people on your show have talked about emotional eating.
Yeah.
And what I've kind of realized, and I went, you know, as a emotionally unstable individual like everyone else is, I finally understood what this emotional eating was, like during times of my life that I was down. If I take food in, the food can't say no, and it makes me feel good. So if I keep giving myself something that feels good, then without taking care of myself, and that's, you know, the cyclical reward, positive feedback loop.
Yeah.
So if I can at least be cognizant of that, eat healthy, sometimes eat not perfectly, but in the same breath, lead a physically active and emotionally healthy relationship with food.
Okay. That's yeah. And that's a fantastic change. I mean, that's a really, really good thing. It's really important. And I'm glad you brought this up too. That was one of the things I wanted to ask you about is how are you doing, or how have you been doing over the last month from a, like just an emotional standpoint in general. Like, are you in a good place this month? Have your emotions played into eating choices, or, you know, any slacking at the gym or anything like that? Like, how has that part of your life been going, so that we have an idea of the context of where your head has been over the last month?
So I'm emotionally fine, but what where my head has been is that when I do let, you know, when I give myself a cheat meal, it's mostly a cheat meal as opposed to a cheat day.
Okay.
When I have a cheat meal, I just let myself go, and it's like, it's almost like I can't stop. And I'm sure everyone going through what a lot of your audience has gone through is like, you just, when you let yourself go and you kind of consume whatever you want, sometimes you feel bad after, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
But my relationship has been, and my attitude has been just kind of to go with it. Is that your question?
Well, yeah. I mean, yes. That's what I want to get at, is how have your emotions played into the choices that you've been making?
The thought process, sorry to interrupt, the thought process is I don't think. I know that if I go through a meal, I know that after that I kind of have to, it's not emotional, it's consciously aware of what I'm doing, and then I have to get back on track the next day. So it's more, like I said before, more aware and alert of what the next day will take if I have a cheat meal or a cheat afternoon or something.
Okay.
So it's conscious thought now. Before it wasn't.
Okay. Well, that's okay. So that brings me to something I wanted to ask you about too, is how are you approaching these cheat meals? Is it something that's structured and planned? Like, you know, okay, this Saturday is going to be the day I have my cheat meal, and I plan to have X, Y, Z. And then the day comes and you have those things, or is it just like you wake up that morning and whatever presents itself is what you're going to go at? How have you been preparing for that day, if so?
I might eat a little less during the day to save some calories.
Okay.
For the night. I don't know if that really works or not, but that's what I do. And maybe your audience members can kind of, you know, comment on that on your website. Or so to prepare myself, you know, it's interesting. It kind of makes me think now that I wake up and I'm kind of more aware of what my day is like structured nutrition wise. It's a good point, because now I know that like tomorrow night, as part of this April Fool's Day, I know we're going out for dinner tomorrow night. So I'll eat very clean for the entire day until dinner comes around, but I'm not going to deprive myself at dinner. But I'll know going in how much I've eaten during the day,
yeah,
and what kind of room I have at the end of the day. And I also know that if I do, like tomorrow I have a run day schedule. So I think it's scheduled right now for 35 minutes or 40 minutes. I'll probably juice it up to an hour and get another 20 minutes or something. So it's more structured. I'm not saying it's structured, but it's more structured than it would have been, you know, 4 months ago, for sure.
Okay. Do you consider that an improvement? Is that good?
Oh God, yeah. I was like a farm animal at a trough, you know, for years, right? Just with wanton disregard for what I was putting in my mouth or how I was putting things in my mouth. Yeah.
Okay. So that's movement in the right direction. I from where I'm standing. So that's good, I think. Now, I heard you say a minute ago too that the occasional cheat meal, and I wrote down that in quotations, it's almost like I can't stop. So
oh, yeah.
Do you still have some of these moments when you're in a cheat meal?
Oh yeah. And I don't know if I said last time, but you know, we're going for wings tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And last time we had wings.
Oh yeah.
My girlfriend's daughter. No, but another one. My girlfriend's daughter just kind of looked at me and she said, "You've got to slow down." So, and she's 9. So sometimes once I get into the middle of it, it's almost like a drug. It's almost like, give me more, give me more, give me more.
Interesting.
So it is interesting actually. But when I'm on track and conscientious about what's on around me, I'm very focused and know what I'm doing and aware of what's going in my mouth.
Good. Well, I think the awareness is a big deal. So with that in mind, I want to ask you, when you sit down for a meal like that, do you enjoy it, you eat it, and then you track however many that you ate? Or do you sit down with a specific number in mind? Like, you know, okay, 12 wings is going to equal exactly the amount of calories I left in my budget for tonight, so I'm only going to put 12 on my plate. Like, how do you approach it? Do you set that the portion size and the limit before you even sit down? Or do you just go at it and then track whatever happened?
I just kind of let loose. I just, this is my cheat meal. If I consume 1500 calories, I consume 1500 calories. But, you know, the rest of my days are healthy. And I'm very active now, so I kind of look at it as just living a life, but I also know that I can't live the way I was living before, you know? So yeah, just healthier choices along the way. I can't, you know, everyone on your show has said they followed Atkins, they followed X, they followed Y diet. For the most part, it's calories in, calories out. And if you remain active, hopefully you can offset some of the imperfections that you have during the day. So I don't really go in with a set mind saying I have 1200 calories, that's 12 wings. No, I couldn't do that. That's I wish I could. And it sounds to me like a lot of people have sacrificed their I don't want to say sacrifice, they've been challenging themselves to really, and maybe that's part of my issue to lose weight more quickly, is to challenge myself and feed my desires with less as opposed to just free feeding. And that's something, you know, maybe that's something to think about.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So maybe I can walk away from this conversation saying maybe I should be even more cognizant during my cheat meals.
Well, you know yourself better than I do, of course, and better than anyone listening. And like you said, different guests have different paths and different things work for everyone. So what I'm hearing in our conversations is that you love your food and you don't want to cut anything out entirely, and I completely get that. I have the days where I know that I've got to have something special that day. I don't know if it's chicken wings sometimes too, or if I feel like a slice of pizza or whatever it is. And my approach is exactly what I shared just now, and that's where it comes from, is I have to tell myself ahead of time, this is my budget, this is my ration almost, right? It's going to be 1.5 slices of pizza, or it's going to be 2 scoops of ice cream or whatever it is. I set that budget beforehand so that I'm not tempted, because I have kind of the same, I had the same kind of issue before. If I sit down with a full tub of popcorn in front of me or a full bowl of like tortilla chips, they are going to get finished regardless of how hungry I was when I sat down. And I know that about myself. So I have to put that line, you know, between serving one and the rest of it if I want to keep myself disciplined. And you know, that works for me, and it's not for everyone. But one of the things that I, you know, you made me think of just now is how do you see this playing out for you over the next year, say over the next 5 years? Is what you're doing right now, week over week, something that you can maintain for the next, you know, 2 to 5 years?
I think there's room for a little bit of improvement, but yeah, I don't feel I'm depriving myself of anything.
Good.
At this point in time. Yeah, I haven't felt this strong or as healthy in such an incredible time.
Awesome.
Before. And it's something I can maintain. I think it's going to keep yielding dividends towards my health. And we were talking about some of the milestones. You know, I went to, it's just starting to warm up here. So went to my golf club's annual meeting last week. And everyone that came up, everyone that saw me, had said, oh my, you've lost a ton of weight. And I think I've only lost about 20 or 30 pounds since last summer. And so that was a milestone. And I'm wearing pants and I can do up the buttons without it popping off. So
that's good.
And some of the pants I've got are too big. And I know that some of my really stylish shorts are going to be too big. But I know that one of the weaknesses I have, and I've been thinking about this, is the food in the clubhouse. It's always good sandwiches, et cetera. I'm looking forward to continuing this process, and it's something I think I can live with moving forward for sure in 5 years. I don't think I'm depriving myself, and it sounds to me, and I can relate to a lot of what your other subjects or interviews have espoused, which is, you know, they're committed to this and they feel so much better now than they did when they were not in this great shape, physical or emotionally, committed to not being healthy.
Good. And I think that's a big deal. For me personally, being on the outside and seeing these transformations, like hearing someone say that this is a lifestyle they can maintain, you know, where you are right now, gives me a really good feeling about where the direction you're going. Like, clearly, you're already seeing progress. You're not feeling like you're depriving yourself, restricting yourself, and you're sticking really well to your plan. And your plan did budget in, you know, that one day off, where you can enjoy a social event, enjoy the special meal or whatever it is. So, you know, I all that to say, I think that you are well on your way to something that you can maintain, which is only going to go in the right direction for you, I think. So
I think so. I think it's, you know, you've been very good at your interview tonight, because these are things I hadn't thought of. Can I, this is some, is this something I can maintain for years? And I think it is. And yeah, that, I think it definitely is, so long as I stay healthy.
Good, good. So we're going to enter April as of tomorrow, as of the time of this recording. So what's going on in April that you think might be a challenge for you? Looking at the next 30 days, right, before we talk again at the end of April, what's on your calendar? What do you see coming up that in the next 30 days might be something that you need to plan for?
Nothing of real. I don't really foresee anything. There's a birthday party next week for one of the kids, but I can work myself around that. That's fine. But there will be birthday cake here, and I think I said on your last show, if you put a birthday cake in front of me, I could probably finish the whole thing. Uh-huh. But I don't foresee any big challenges from a food point of view. I think I've got to just really continue to focus on aerobic and running. And I was listening to this woman today that you were – this is fascinating to me. I'm sorry to bring up another guest you had. But this is a woman, I think she's run 5 marathons or 3 marathons or something like that.
4 so far this year. The next one, she's got
Italy.
Rome, yeah.
I've only been running for, let's see, January, February, March. I guess for 3 months. I don't know how long she's been running for, but, you know, so I'm committed to continuing to train for running. Good. And I'm starting to get this runner's high that some people speak of, but that's my commitment for the next month, is to continue to be focused on my aerobic exercise. And the strength will come because I do that intermittently amongst the aerobic training. So I don't foresee anything getting in the way of that.
Good deal. What kind of strength training are you doing?
I mentioned last time, 9 times out of 10, I start with squats or step-ups for legs.
Yeah.
Sometimes some walking lunges. Then I'll move into chest and or back. I don't do a ton of biceps. They're kind of included in other multi-joint exercises that I do. So I'm not one of the guys in the gym you'll ever see doing weights with curls
the spot targeting stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't do any of that stuff. It's all multi-joint. And I've hit a number of personal bests in the last month, including how much I can one-arm row, how much I can dumbbell press, how much I can step up, squat. Like I'm hitting personal best almost every time, a few times a month, to show that I know that what I'm doing is working.
Good.
And that's exciting every time for me.
Yeah, good deal. That's, I mean, to see those kind of not just improvements, but to be setting personal bests and new records for yourself is a big deal. That's really good, Michael. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and same with we were going to get into the running, so we'll just head into it now, which is, you know, I'm training for this 10K on May 11th. I'm up to almost up to 6K now, which is good. Running consistently now for 45 minutes or longer. I think I ran for 47 minutes straight last time. And again, just like most of your guests say, is they hate every step of their running. But I have yet to run outside just because it's been so darn cold up here in Canada. And I don't know what the difference is from running outside when I compare that to running on a treadmill. So I'm hopefully over the next week or so, I'll be able to do some runs outside. There's still snow on the ground up here for some reason. I don't know why, but that's my next step, is to run outside, maybe start with 5K and see how long that takes me. And then, you know, that other run is only 5 weeks away, which is kind of scary.
You'll get there. You'll get there.
I'm sure. Yeah. And so that'll be a personal best for me as well. So I foresee a lot of personal bests over the next few months.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to check in again at the end of April. What I've heard today is that you are going to run outside as soon as it becomes possible and the sun's outside and there's not snow. You're going to be eating more vegetables. You're going to maintain your running commitment, and you're going to stick to your 80% clean, 20% otherwise diet. Your gym habit will stay consistent. I like it. Everything I'm hearing is in line with what you told me you were going to do last month. You've been doing it. You're maintaining it. I like the changes. I like what I'm hearing. And you sound very happy with the direction that we're going. I saw you smiling in the pictures that you posted for the updates on your Tumblr. So that's fantastic. And again, it sounds like this is something you can maintain. So let me ask you something, Michael. We're going to meet again in 30 days, but just, I want to put this in your head before we say goodbye today. A year from now, you know, this end of March next year in 2015, where do you want to be?
Let's not be overly optimistic, but let's say let's not see where I want to be. Let's see where I don't want to be. I think that's a better thing. But we'll look at both. First thing, where I want to be, I want to continue to be happy and focused on how I feel about myself.
Okay.
Physically and emotionally. I don't want to be in a place where I'm angry with myself for letting myself down by not continuing the path that I'm on now. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to put a number that is going to make me happy or not happy. I think if I continue to be lead this lifestyle, every numbers will just happen. And a scale is just a number.
Yeah.
But if I can continue to run and set personal bests and do all these things, that's going to make, you know, the smiles on my pictures much more wide. So I'm getting a lot of compliments of how I look now compared to the way I did a number of months ago, which is inspirational. And I feel better. My pants are big. My shirts are big. And I don't want them to fit again. That's the goal.
Good.
So I think, but from a medical point of view, I still kind of want to get out of I'm almost there, out of the obese BMI category. So I've got another 1.5 points. I think I'm like, my BMI is like 31.2. So if I can get out of that to begin with, would be a big milestone.
Yeah.
My doctor is happy with my progress, and he also wants to kind of see my BMI down just a little bit more. Yeah. But I think all these things are going to come if I could just, as we kind of reflect back on the interview, so to speak, and kind of say, remain focused for the next month and take the next year as a goal to remain able to maintain this lifestyle, right? And so everything will just come. And the important thing is to be healthy, not necessarily deprived.
I love it. That's the spirit, Mike. That's the spirit. I was curious to hear what your answer would be about next year, whether it had anything to do with a number. And I'm pleased and proud to hear you say that, you know, your focus is on being healthy and being happy. And I completely agree. I think everything else will come secondary to that if you stick to what you're doing. I love it.
I think so. Yes.
All right. Well, this has been update number 2 from Michael Kalchman. Michael, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to checking in with you again in a month.
Yep, 30 days, and I'm not going to set a number, but I'll update you with a number in 30 days.
All right, Tips of Scale listeners, remember, Michael will be checking in with us at the end of April, and Michael also maintains a Tumblr with more regular updates that you can find the link to on the show notes for this episode as well. Michael, again, thank you so much. I appreciate your time today, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you very much, Sam.
And there you have it, Scale Warriors. This has been our update with Tips of the Scale listener, Michael Kalchman. You can find the show notes for this interview at tipsofthescale.com/MK2. As always, Scale Warriors, I appreciate you, and I want to thank you so much for all the great reviews that you've been leaving in iTunes. I sincerely appreciate them. If you haven't left a review and you'd like to share your feedback on the show, please do so. Go to tipsofthescale.com/iTunes. And leave a review in the iTunes directory. Again, doesn't matter to me if it's 1 star or 5. All I want to know is how you're enjoying the show and what I could possibly do better. So let me know. It's always great to hear from you. That's it for this week. Until next time, Scale Warriors, as always, here's to your weight loss success.